traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
By the way, so he was warned. He said he was going to do it. He walked up to him. Apparently, he said, "Are you Jay Park?" He goes, "Yeah." Smacks him in the fucking head.
That will be the most expensive thing you've destroyed?
Yes.
Oh, no!
Wow.
Did I just confirm that I was going to do it?
Yep.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. It's good to be here, guys. Thanks for subscribing. And if you're not subscribed, I fucking hate you. Just hit the button. Holy We're approaching shit. 2 million subscribers. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know this. If you watch my content, what we were talking about, the couches at the front of my house are Mercedes couches. I have 2 regrets in my life. Buying those couches is one of them.
I told you not to. $90,000. I told you not to.
You did?
You did?
I said absolutely do not do it. I love the Mercedes couches.
Because the idea was I would get out of my Mercedes that I drive in the street and go sit on some more Mercedes. That was my 2017 like flex phase where I was just trying to flex as hard as possible and not listen to fucking anyone. And look where it got me. I shot myself in the foot and now I have expensive, dirty ass, disgusting, chewed up couches because my dogs. That's what I'm saying, bro. We try to sell them.
So
no one's going to buy them. And then we they're not comfortable. No one sits there.
The dogs like it.
Yeah, it's horrifying. So we're going to maybe destroy them. But like I said, it's the most expensive thing that I will have ever destroyed.
It's got to be epic. If you're going to do it, you might as well like figure out how to just blow them up with a whole bunch of dynamite or something.
Dynamite you can't do dynamite at our ranch because you have to get it cleared. California is very strict with their explosives and their TNT. We have to go to Vegas to do it, Nevada.
Oh, there are states that aren't strict with dynamite?
Nevada's all good, bro. I see Dan Bilzerian's blowing up shit all the time. Yeah. Also cool. Saw him at the fight this past weekend in Vegas.
That's cool. You guys went to that fight, yeah? You and David, the German videographer?
I did.
It's weird to have someone just replace you as your best friend.
It was weird. It's also weird because David's German and knows nothing about fighting.
He doesn't even speak English.
Barely. So I'm like sitting there like telling him stuff. Mind you, we're in the third row. Like we're surrounded by all the fighters.
Yeah.
And so they're all so ingrained screaming at the fights. And David's kind of just watching it. It looked like he was watching paint dry, to be honest with you.
Oh.
He's like, I do not understand.
But also maybe because the main fight, so if you guys saw the fights this past weekend, Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero, it was boring. Like if you're going to tell me that fight's entertaining, you're lying to yourself. Mm-hmm. It was the most boring championship fight I've ever seen in my life. And we in the breakdown of the fight, people were trying to figure out what was happening. And although I and Izzy, dude, I think you're a great fighter. I know you supported me in the KSI fight. Although I do think... Like, I would have scored that fight with Yoel Romero winning the challenger. You don't think so? Here's why I think they gave it to Izzy. Because if you're the challenger, you got to take it from the champ. You have to go in there and take it from the champ, not like be some sort
you
of
have
stagnant.
To put on a show.
Exactly.
I just felt like he was backing up Romero. He was just like, there was no attack unless he had to be.
I know, but he had some significant strikes, and given that
overhead
given that 10 punch, five to 10 punches were thrown in each round.
Yeah, but how many leg kicks were thrown?
He did throw, he threw a lot of leg kicks.
He ripped the hell out of him.
Yeah. But it was, Izzy fights to the level of the person that he's fighting. And, we got a show that was somewhat subpar. The good news is
the women
right before the championship, the main bout, the women had a championship fight. Now I'm unfamiliar with these two, but they are fucking warriors.
Islam Makhachev tweeted afterwards, "This is not a woman's sport."
What?
Yeah. On Twitter. And,
that's not cool.
Conor McGregor went nuts on him. An absolute cretin. You got Connor's accent by chance?
That's pretty good.
An absolute cretin.
Nah, those are both British.
An absolute cretin.
A convicted steroid cheat that will do anything to avoid impact, install a fight, and then talks down on one of the greatest exchanges of combat ever produced by our female combatants. These little gremlins.
The greatest.
It's back on. Filthy rat. Shame on the game.
Dave the German.
He later deleted the tweet.
Ooh. Dave the German's like, wait, there's girls fighting? I was like, bro, these women sometimes go harder than the dudes. And in this case, they fucking did. The one girl straight up got turned into Megamind.
Oh, no.
Y'all see these memes?
Yeah, I've seen her.
Yeah, yeah.
What was her name? Jenna?
Jameson.
No, she's not a fighter.
ESPN has them.
Here. But Barstool's also quick, dude. I rue the day where I've been turned into a Barstool meme. Like, yo, if this happens, you know you've gone to war. You know, because
so
by the way,
much swelling.
She doesn't look like that in real life, guys.
No, she doesn't.
Look at Bruce Buffer, pretty. Dude.
Bruce Buffer's the GOAT. I've said it before on this show. He's my favorite ever. Like, I want to be Bruce Buffer when I grow up, and I got to spend 2-3 days eating dinner with him just at the events. He got me the tickets.
Awesome.
Bruce, I mean, got me the tickets. So shout out to Bruce Buffer. Also shout out to Dana White and Amber for making that happen.
Just for next time, there's more than two people.
Yeah, yeah. Mike and Lana there wasn't enough room for them.
Well, there could have been enough room for me. There could have been enough room for me, but this is one of the downfalls of being in a relationship. What? Now I'm double baggage. So every time he's like, "Yo, man, I got one extra. I got a plus one for this dope ass event." I'm like, "I got this bag of rocks next to me, my girlfriend. I can't
Mike,
go."
Don't
now.
You and Lana make a lot of money?
Yeah.
So you couldn't buy a ticket?
We went to Absinthe instead.
How was that?
Amazing. Absolutely fucking crazy. We sat row one. Shit was nuts, dude. I don't understand how that show is able to go on. I don't understand. They are so mean to the guests.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yes. Like crude humor?
Such crude humor. They picked out the gay guys, the black guy, and just went to town on him. They called the guy black guy. They called him up. Come on up, black guy.
Were the people laughing?
Somewhat. Did they take your phone? No. You can record as much as you want. No flash. But it's a mix of crude humor, circus stunts, and by the way, incredible show. Ranked the best show in Vegas. We got to sit right up close, which I found out later that's very risky because they'll pick on you if you're in the first row. So the guy next to us was this big, chunky guy, and they're like, look at this fat head. Sitting in the front row. The guy behind you can't even see. And this guy was not laughing. He was pissed. And he was like, how do you fuck this man to the wife? Like, it was crazy, bro.
But
dude, everywhere.
You know going into it, you're going to get that. So I feel like some
people
know. Do you though?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
That show is known for doing that.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know. I just got it recommended to me. And Lana was
That's the whole point
was
of
nervous.
The show.
She was
and I
nervous.
Think they go there purposely, like, hope they pick on me.
I'm surprised they didn't make fun of Lana.
I think what it was I noticed they picked on people that had a something outright like shiny clothes or like a big fat head. I was a little worried about my nose.
Nobody laughed.
Everybody laughed except for the person that was being picked on.
It's one of those situations where it's so funny until you're the person being.
Yeah.
Could they be set up? Could those be part of the show?
Bro, they. No, I don't think.
Is it worth it for one joke? I don't know.
It's easy.
They were bad too. Like there was one part where this white dude, he was like bathing in the tub and the guy was like, come on up, black guy. I bet you hated that last part. That man, that white man bathing and all that white privilege. Like it was like really like racially driven.
I would laugh at that. Like I will acknowledge my privilege of bathing.
No. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about them making it a joke to the other African American. I don't even know.
How
do you
just tread lightly?
Just let Vegas.
What's
the, like the crudest
what's the
Vegas
term? What's the
that
term
one?
Again? That I'm supposed to use?
A person?
Just
that person?
African American.
African American people in the crowd. Like I was looking at them to see how they felt about like white privilege bathing.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's pretty wild shit.
But yeah, dude, I was upset that you weren't there
because
you did miss something very entertaining that happened in the first 5 minutes of me being there. So you guys may have heard about this online.
No,
oh, shit.
I haven't.
This dude, Brian Ortega, he's a UFC fighter, big UFC fighter.
That's not the, oh no, I was thinking of Trump.
I'm glad you interrupted me though.
Sorry about that. Just trying to get some clarification.
Yeah, this dude, Brian Ortega, I get to the UFC fight. I say what up to Dan Bilzerian. Sitting next to him is Cowboy Cerrone. Say what's up to him. A couple other fighters. I say what's good to see Brian Ortega. He's right in front of me. Yo, what's good, man? Looking good, looking healthy. He goes, you gonna fight again? I was like, yeah, maybe, you know, we'll see what happens. Have a good like 2 to 3 minute conversation. It's all good, all good spirits. Not 3 minutes go by. He hops over his chair. He goes, excuse me. And then he like beelines 10 seats down. And I lean over because it looks like he's on a mission. Me and Dave lean over to see what's happening. And this like skinny Asian dude stands up and Brian Ortega smacks him in the fucking face.
Wow.
Smacks him in the face. And I'm watching this. I'm like, what just happened? The security guard who was next to me, probably about like 6'6" dude, flies over everyone, like sprints down this row of people. Mind you, these seats are very tight on the floor. Very tight.
Yep.
So this dude is like stepping on everyone. He grabs Brian and like escorts him out. And I'm like, he walks by me. I'm like, dude, you slapped the shit out of that guy. And he goes, it's super calm. He's like, did I talk shit, get hit? And then he gets escorted and kicked out of the arena. Mind you, this dude is like a champion UFC fighter. He's like one of the best in the league right now. Also like a street kid. So everyone is so confused. I'm so confused. No one got it on video. Ugh. No one. Okay.
You're watching the fight.
It was in between bouts.
Was it just that fast? It happened so quick.
He was so slick about it. And obviously we,
another fighter.
We did some research to see what was the deal. So the dude he slapped is a Korean rapper by the name of Jay Park. One of the biggest rappers in Korea.
Oh, yeah.
He is also was translating for Brian Ortega's next opponent, the Korean Zombie, who he's fighting next. Anyways, apparently there was like the Jay Park was talking shit and Brian Ortega tweeted at him and said, don't be surprised if the next time I see you, I slap the shit out of you.
So I love it.
Bro, he told him.
I love it.
He told him. And then he doubled down on Ariel Helwani's show. And Ariel Helwani said something like, you know, don't kill the messenger. Brian's like, no, fuck the messenger. This is the fight game.
That's how you send a message.
And by the way, so he was warned. He said he was going to do it. He walked up to him. Apparently, he said, are you Jay Park? He goes, yeah. Smacks him in the fucking head, bro. And so I'm watching. And so I can't.
You saw it.
I saw all of it happen. Amazing. Everyone did. But no one in 2020, no one got it on video. They only got him being escorted out. And a couple of people texted me. They're like, yo, I saw you in this video, like right next to him as he was being escorted out. And so I guess I just got to like maybe, I don't know. Like his follow through was very strong. He said he was going to do something, and he really fucking did. Like he's one of those dudes that is a man of his word.
I wonder if the translator was like actually the one saying it, or if it was the fighter. Like, do you think he had to like?
I don't
fight through that, or what's the deal?
I don't know, but I could tell you one thing: K-pop fans are not happy.
Mm. Well, I mean, he can't be that happy either because he missed the whole fucking fight because of that.
I don't think he cares, dude.
I'm sure he also gets sued. A lot of fights, right? Assault.
Yeah. Apparently, Jay is pressing charges.
Charges.
He wasn't gonna, but his team suggested that he should.
I wonder what that cost is actually.
It always costs more to do that than to not do it. Like, there's no harm in not hitting. So as soon as you hit someone, you get escorted, you get sued, you get arrested. Hitting people is the dumbest shit. Like, the most, as Connor said, cretin shit, bro. And remember how Connor paid for it.
I watched you almost hit somebody at the fight. Fury Wilder.
And every time I don't do it, I'm happy I didn't do it. Because as soon as you do it, you got a long road ahead of you of just bullshit. It's just so much easier to just ignore someone's crap, dude, and just continue living your fucking life. But I mean, I guess if you live in that arena,
they do. I noticed, bro, when I sparred with Paulo Costa at the UFC Performance Institute,
looked awesome.
I want to talk about that in a sec, but you walk in and there's fighters everywhere. This is not like a gym, right? These are all like very lethal human beings who are ready to kick anyone's ass at a moment's notice, bro. Everyone's got a little like dark, like red energy around them, ready to fuck on edge everyone. And so I'm walking, I'm the fucking YouTuber, right? So I'm
walking around compared to him.
Bro, I'm walking around like this. I'm like, Like my head's, my chest is not as much. I'm kind of like, I shut up because I don't want to come off as the perception that some people have of like Logan Paul, where it's like this cocky, loud, arrogant YouTuber. Like, sure, I have like a side of me that can
be that,
could be that. But like in real life, I saw someone tweeted, they're like, in real life, I saw Logan Paul at the casino and he looked like the most normal dude. And like,
that's what you are.
But I really am. I really am. Like, sure, when the camera's on, I love being creative. I can get there. But yeah, it was fascinating. And then we had the whole sparring session, the grappling session with Paulo Costa, who is another animal in himself, who is actually going to fight Israel Adesanya next. Oh, God. Assuming he can lose 60 pounds because Paulo is 250 and has to get down to 185.
Huge. 60, is that possible?
60 pounds.
It's a lot of
I
weight.
Think by like the summer. It's like three months.
All right, so you just don't eat starting today.
You go on the GP diet.
No, he said he was going to eat more.
What? I don't
know. He was like constant eat,
yo,
sleep.
I've never met a human being who is more of an actual animal than Paulo Costa. This dude sleeps, they said 10 to 13 hours a day.
No way.
10 to 13, yeah, 13 hours a day. And just beats people's ass, dude.
We sat with him.
That dude's a freak.
We had dinner with him, and he's such a nice guy.
He's cool as fuck. Coolest guy
ever.
How
does he turn into this is my question. How does the switch go?
It's a switch. I saw it because I interacted with the calm, like, fun, like, I'm not going to hurt you, Paulo, especially when I was sparring with him. Like, he wasn't trying to kill me.
Yep.
And then I saw him at the UFC fight calling out Izzy.
I saw that afterwards.
And bro, it's like
he was ready to go.
Yo, is a killer instinct. And you watch his fights too. And
he was calling out Romero, or Romero wanted to fight.
No, he just beat Romero. That was the last fight.
I know, but they were talking shit that it was more of him and
I did see
Costa
that. I did see
shit.
That.
Israel, I didn't see him
this
say
is
anything.
Like the quintessential gladiator from he Roman is. Times. When I think of someone that could
but
just go
all,
kill
look,
a lion.
All these pictures are all when he's down to that weight. He right now is huge.
But by the way, right now, he still has a six-pack. He's still in shape. He's just
a monster.
It's like someone put a bicycle pump in him and just like pumped him up. But he's not like fat.
No.
He's not.
Solid.
I don't even say he's thick. He's just like a fucking brick, a rock,
a boulder.
Are MMA fighters like boxers where they... I read this an article the other day about Fury, about him coming from that Irish traveler's background.
Do gypsy?
Most, yeah, like gypsy. They're called Irish travelers. It's a whole class of people in Ireland that are put down by the government and by the people of Ireland. Are MMA fighters like that too? Like most fighters come from these like horrible, like distraught places, and the reason they get so into fighting is because they have to. Like, they're fighting to survive. They're fighting to get out of the projects. They're fighting to.
I think so.
All they know is
like
fighting.
All they know is fighting, and that's why I always. That's why I think a lot of times when like Schaub and like Rogan talk about him fighting, like, why would you even want to even fucking do that? Because you don't have fighters.
I think it seems like fighters
fight because they have to fight.
I think it's different from MMA as opposed to boxing. Because MMA, you have jujitsu and you have all these different crafts of martial arts that it's like, some of them aren't about striking. Some of them are about
like
you
art
know,
form.
Defense and art and like, you know, all that stuff. So maybe a little bit less, but there are some crazy ones.
Just like anything in life, there's both sides of the coin, right? Because you're right, dude. Like, Brian Ortega did not grow up easy, dude. That dude's a gangster. That dude's a fucking gangster. Whereas, you know, there's some other guys who do it for the martial art, for the craft, for the idea of like becoming the best version of yourself.
Israel didn't look like he's like a killer like that. He kicks, he like strikes, but
I think Israel's there to be the best that he possibly can be and master the craft. Act with class and move violently. Like, that's him.
He did.
Yeah.
I think part of that's just like sheer athleticism. Like, guy like Brendan, didn't he play football? And then he was like, I want to get into MMA just because he's like, he's bigger than most people. He's faster and he's able to do something with his athleticism. There isn't a lot of like room in the world for someone who's purely athletic. Like, that's their calling, is that they are an athlete. You have to put that energy into something.
But,
and if it could be fighting, it could be football, baseball, whatever it is.
And once you're there, and like, I can attest, dude, there's this like, it's just like, if you love something, you get the bug, right? I have the fighting bug. And every time people ask me about it, I say like, unfortunately, I really love boxing. It's unfortunate because it's fucking dangerous. It's very dangerous. The sport, people are putting their life on the line for it. And
is it the adrenaline or the?
In my opinion, fighting is the coolest sport in the world. It is one of the coolest things in the world. There's no more. It does not get more primal than two men.
Not at all.
In a ring, a cage, somewhere you cannot escape, beating the shit out of each other to see who is better. They are modern day gladiators. And every time I go to a fight, I'm lit up, dude. I am ecstatic to be there. I'm happy. I have so much energy flowing through my body. And I think it's the coolest thing ever.
The world loves it too. I mean, isn't consistently Floyd like the highest paid athlete?
Yeah. Bro, two people start fighting, everyone watches.
Yep.
It's the one for sure, it can attract everyone's attention, no matter where you are.
Immediately. Yep.
Henry Cejudo, who's the two-weight champ right now, gave me his belts at dinner. Also, I don't know why, because I was like, why are you giving me your belts? He goes, no, I just hold them so. And we took this picture, but like, I don't know, bro. There's a magical nature to fighting that makes it so fucking exciting to watch, to participate, to be involved.
It's animal instinct. Goes all the way to,
yep.
You know,
does he walk around with those belts?
He does walk around with those.
That seems like a lot.
He calls himself the King of Cringe, though.
That was that guy?
No, that was Paulo. Henry Cejudo wasn't even in the picture. He was just eating his dinner. He didn't care. He's like, yo, like, take a picture with my belts. I was like, no. He's like, no, just do it. I was like, yeah, sir.
Well, most of them are like barely conscious anymore. They're like,
no, not true. Really? Not true. I don't know why.
Well, I was at that dinner and who was the guy I was talking to the whole time? He was just going on about travel to Brazil and like the dude that was right across from me, one of the other fighters.
I don't think he was a fighter.
Oh, he wasn't?
I don't know.
Dude, that guy was in Vegas. He's probably just
He showed up at our table. He was a random guy and just sat with us.
Was it not one of the Costa trainer and like guy from Brazil?
Oh.
Who looks like a fighter, but isn't?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. But yeah, the MMA is actually safer than boxing. I notice a lot of the boxers have some speech problems. Yep. And fucking hopefully I don't develop
constant any. Getting hit in the head.
Yeah.
Over and over and over is why you get that.
Yeah.
MMA, they jump on you. You get a couple hits to the head. You're done. The fight's over.
I think
you can get knocked out or knocked down in boxing. Get back up, knocked down again. Get back up, knocked down again.
That's the biggest problem.
Just let you keep going.
Yeah.
Yo, literally. You get hit in the head. You get a concussion. You have a very severe concussion. You get knocked down and they give you 10 seconds to recover.
Yep.
Newsflash, you don't recover from a concussion in 10 seconds. So you get up and then you get hit again. You get a second tier repercussion. And then it just keeps happening and you're fucked. Next thing you know it, you can't use your hand when you're 45 years old.
And what happens after the fight? The commission suspends you for like 90 days. So after you've had the concussion, right? Instead of stopping it there, they're like, okay, now you're suspended.
MMA,
no, they need to suspend you so you don't get back in the ring right away.
Yeah, MMA, the knockouts are a little cleaner. But
what about bare knuckle?
I don't know. It's like kind of semi on the rise. I don't know about bare knuckle.
Would you ever do it?
Me? No.
I'm not.
I mean, MMA is pretty much bare knuckle. How much is that?
Four ounces. 4 ounce gloves.
It's nothing.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot of weight. Yeah. But I would never. But Yoel Romero, this video went viral him actually before the fight. And I wanted to talk about this. I'm sure you guys have seen this. This was him talking about mentality. Dwayne Johnson actually posted this.
When you live, when you believe. When you believe, everything is possible. You have two hands. I mean, everything is possible. Go. Go. And take it whatever you want to do.
Damn.
That's sick. He's so serious about that.
Yeah.
Very intense. He means that. Wow.
I wonder if he does.
I could feel because
he didn't take that championship belt.
He stood there.
Didn't even put in an effort.
True.
And
wouldn't say effort.
Sorry. Yes, he put effort, but not the effort he should have given the amount of training he's done, given this philosophy. And by the way, like Yoel Romero is a very respected fighter. I get it, but I don't know. I didn't show up in my KSI fight. He didn't show up against Izzy Adesanya.
I love his passion though. I just think like, do you think you could replace what he said with like any sentence and he would say it with the same passion?
Yes.
Like, you have two cartons of milk, put them in your shopping cart and go.
I imagine.
And you're just like, holy shit, yes. I'm going to go get milk fucking now.
Yes. The Rock, so this is on The Rock's page. He said, love this. Yoel Romero, MMA dropping gospel about willing things into existence when you believe. I believe in visualizing and manifesting outcomes, but only when I can put in the work with my own two hands, my two-hand philosophy. A philosophy that Yoel speaks to here. I definitely love that philosophy. A couple red flags are raised for me just because that two-hand philosophy does not work for everyone. Because it cannot work for everyone. And actually living with Evan really puts this into perspective for me. The things that I can do with two hands are not equivalent to the things Evan can do with two hands. A two-hand philosophy might not work for Evan. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm big on the philosophy of finding the thing you're good at and working smarter, not harder about it. Mm. Working hard, it works. It works for some people. But also, what does that mean? For a guy like Yoel, for a guy like The Rock, it's an extremely physically exerting, taxing, exercise. It revolves around fitness. But that two-hand philosophy, I just want to like urge people not to absorb that as the spine of your life.
I think, but what he's saying with the two-hand philosophy, I think, or what I get out of it is working with what you have. And so everybody can reapply it based on what they have. Like one person might have one hand and he might call it it could still be called the two-hand philosophy. You're just working with what God gave you. Like it doesn't.
No. I agree with that. That's not what he's saying.
That's not what that is.
You're taking it literal, and two hands could also mean your brain. It could also mean other things.
You think so?
I think so.
Because not every brain is created equal, and that's where this philosophy falls apart. Sure, most of us have two hands, and I can look at you and say you have the same two hands as me. But I can't say you have a brain just like me, because those are vastly fucking different. My brain and your brain are capable of two very different things.
I think that we both have the brain to visualize and manifest our outcomes.
I love that part of it. So I love that part of it.
Whether your brain can spell better than I can, great. Have fun with that.
Yep.
But I still can manifest.
Yeah, I think you might have taken it too literally.
Like, maybe I did. I pick apart these philosophies because you're literal. I try to come up with like a universal, like the first one. Willing things into existence when you believe, visualizing and manifesting outcomes.
Everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. Fact.
Everyone can do that.
Yep.
If I go up to a paraplegic or a quadriplegic, I say, you have two hands just like me. That doesn't fucking work, dude. He has to get through his life in a very different way than I do.
You're taking literal. Also,
well,
he's
not
saying,
only literal, but exceptions to the rule.
Same, you know too. Yeah, you can do anything you want. No, there's laws. There's you can't kill people. You can't do certain things. You go to jail and you do like. He doesn't mean that, but he said that.
I'm using the exceptions and the outliers as representations of a larger part of the whole of this, in my opinion. Philosophy. It sounds so good. It sounds great. Work hard. You got two hands, just like me. But yo, what if you have some sort of eating deficiency where you're, I don't know, like where your muscles are weaker than mine?
That's where you have to get the helping hand philosophy. Like you have to use what you have to get some way to put two hands on it. If you have to rely on help, yes, sometimes I'm in the kitchen, he needs help to grab something.
We're all
happy
one.
To do that. And
we're all here to help.
Yeah. You find some way to bring about the things that you want into existence, whether that's doing it yourself or employing someone else to get hands on with it and get you the things that you want.
I just also think, like we said, I think this is applied to like the general set. Like every person I've talked to in the past 90 days has had two hands and the ability to use them. So like, I don't want to, like, how long do you talk about the three exceptions that you've run into in the past 30 years?
Jake Paul once said, you gotta want it. You gotta want it.
He also said, "It is every day, bro.
It is every day. Consistency.
It is." And he's right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just empathize with the people whose two hands aren't as strong as Yoel Romero's, or who cannot beat up people for a living, or who aren't genetically built to be strong, have a career like The Rock,
yeah.
Like, or the people who are. Their brain doesn't function as quickly as the Elon Musks of the world. We're all humans. We're all the same, but not fucking really. Be a fucking maverick. You're one of one.
Nice.
You're one of one, baby.
Nice.
And that's the thing that makes you special.
Yeah.
You're unique.
Ideally, sure. Yeah, we all got two hands in the same. Ideally, sure. The playing field's leveled. Reality, that's not the case.
True.
Sponsor Danny Dating. Oh, no. Man, we do have a sponsor.
Danny Dating.
You guys' favorite sponsor. If you love sex, you love BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom because we'd all like to go a little longer and last a few extra rounds. BlueChew.com affiliated physicians work with you to find the dosage and active ingredients that is best for you. They can work faster than pills, up to twice as fast. Can be taken on a full or empty stomach. Takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit. No awkward conversation. No waiting in line at a pharmacy. They ship directly to your door in a discreet package. So they give you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will absolutely love it. Chew it and do it. I got a deal for you guys. Go to BlueChew.com. Get your first order free when you use a promo code Logan. Just pay $5 shipping. BlueChew.com. Promo code Logan.
Definitely need the two-hand philosophy for that thing.
That's a fact. Oh, yes. I had that
need
girl.
Both hands for that.
Remember that story I told about the numbing spray that I put on my penis and that I couldn't feel my penis and I was high and I didn't know what to do with. The girl texted me and she's like, are you free tomorrow night? I was like, heck yeah, baby. You know I am.
Numbing spray?
She goes, you're going to last more than 30 seconds this time? I was like, you bet, baby. That's what I'm going to do. She goes, no dick numbing spray. I was like, listen, I'm out. I was like, listen, I can't
do that.
But also, yeah, Danny was good. Yeah. Danny. I'm basically. Okay, why don't you come over here?
Yes, Danny, expose your private life.
This is our assistant, Danny, who's. She's just. Jeff, would you mind giving Danny the throne for a sec?
Love Danny's you. One Love of the you, nicest, Jeff. Most caring and generous humans on the
ever,
planet.
Ever.
Jeff, go do some business. Get us some more money.
So Danny,
please.
You, in my entire experience of working with you for what, a year and a half, maybe 2 years now?
It's less than a month away from 2 years, so. Hey.
Danny!
I think I've known about one date you've gone on.
That's the only one.
That is the only one.
Besides the two last week.
Two with two different
guys.
Danny. Yeah.
Wait, two dates with the same two guys on each date? Like three people total.
You're running a polygamous little thing.
Yeah, you're trying to be a sister wife with yourself.
I just wanted to get out there. I decided that I was gonna try to start dating because the problem is over the past 6 years I've not really like opened myself up to it. I'm not really wasn't willing to do it because I was like, screw that.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it.
No way.
Yeah.
How'd you find the boys?
Unhinged.
Hinge? Oh. What is that?
What it's is a that? Dating app like Tinder.
Right, but what's the thing?
Where's this
like,
thing?
Bumble the girls approve, right? Raya's like for celebrities or whatever. What's the thing on Hinge? Like, is it just the same?
I think you can...
Mutual friends.
Is it?
Oh, that's what it is. You're supposed to have a hinge between mutual friends. That's what it is.
I actually don't know because I haven't been on any of the other apps.
I think Dylan just said it.
Okay. So?
You have to know someone or some shit.
So, but with Hinge, you can put... like fun, quirky little things. I wish we could pull up my Hinge thing right now.
I mean, at what point does it become a branded play?
That's true. Okay, so this one app.
Yeah, just some app.
So I went on and I was like, I'll be specific about the stuff that I want, you know? Like, I want to make sure that, like, adventurous, faith, have strong in their faith, etc. So I found these two guys that kind of match that. One of them, he pulled up to the date, went to a coffee shop, he drove a Tesla. So I was like, hey, check, Tesla. Yeah, we like nice. Teslas. Yeah, and he's a rocket engineer.
Whoa.
So he's kind of cool.
Does he work at SpaceX?
No.
Oh, nice.
Maybe.
Just figured just because of the Tesla.
And then I went bike riding on Saturday with the other guy.
No way.
Yeah.
Did you talk while you were riding the bikes?
Well, he's probably 100 pounds.
Oh, no.
So he was way faster at climbing the hills than me.
You could beat the shit out of him.
No, I totally could beat the shit out of him, but not climbing a hill.
You know who I talked to the other day?
Who?
Austin McBroom, who apparently came into my yard with FaZe Rug to try and prank me.
And what happened?
You know what he told me?
What did he tell you?
He said, you came out of the house with a paintball gun.
I did.
And you shot a paintball gun at him.
I did.
He's like, yo, your assistant's the best ever. they were in masks, right?
Yeah.
So it looked like people just
hopped
the fence.
That was not cool.
Danny came out, boom, 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 boom.
I shot the first one like next to them just to kind of scare him a little warning shot. I shot two off and then immediately he's like, poof, took his mask off. But I made sure to make it like if it were you, I would shot Mike essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right next to him.
All right. Sharp. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah. Really of course. I got you.
I pulled a knife on him.
Did you?
I had that big knife.
Knowing it was Austin McBroom?
Yeah, because still, I mean, like. Dude,
I was the first one to make contact with these masked villains in the back. They were standing in the ring, and I walked back there. I'm like shirtless, no shoes on. Yeah. I walked back. And there's just three guys in the ring, and they keep saying, "Where's Logan? Where's Logan Paul? Where's Logan Paul?" I'm like, I can't answer that question right now. I don't know who you are. And then I finally haven't said a word. I've approached the whole time. I stand on the edge of the ring, and they're still yelling at me, trying to say shit. I'm trying to figure out who they are. And then Austin runs forward towards me, leans his back up against the ropes, and takes his mask off. He's like, "Yo, man.
It's me, also. Where's Logan?" From the Ace family.
Well, he took it off as I was shooting the gun.
Anyways, the date. I want to know.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the idea of dating, or was it back to the original philosophy of not for me?
I didn't crazy enjoy it. Oh. It was the idea of the amount of energy I had to put into texting this person when I'm like, I'm just going to see you Wednesday. Why am I texting you and putting energy into like when we're actually just going to talk in person? And then after that, I was like, same idea.
What's the objective here?
Why are we?
You're a man's dream, and if you're like that, I don't know many girls that are like that. They want to text you all fucking day. How you doing, baby? How's lunch?
I'm working and amazing. On my phone texting all day when it comes to work.
Guys, are you hearing this? If you're watching this right now, the girl's not even gonna fucking make you text her.
Hi, she just Danny. See you when she sees you.
Hey, I'm serious. I bet we could find you a stud.
Oh yeah, in our audience, you know how many.
Well, we'll do the dating game on the show.
Yeah, I need you to be taller than me.
How tall? You're tall, Danny.
I'm 5'10".
Sheesh.
So I need you to be taller than me and like.
Why did David just make direct eye contact with me? David's just giving me the death stare. David, how tall are you? 5'7".
It's just, okay, David's here's like the thing. I don't want to feel big, like bigger than you. I want to like, I'm confident in myself. I know like I'm happy with my body and personally, but I want a guy who's not going to be someone that I could like beat up.
What's your height? What's your height requirement?
Yeah.
Like at least 6 foot, like 2 inches. Because what if I wear a little pair of
heels?
Wait,
did you say at least 2 inches?
Yeah. What's
2 inches tall total?
No, taller.
You just want like a small micro human?
Preferably 6'2". 6'2" would be cool. I like
6'2". 6'2" with a 12-foot belief in Jesus Christ. Like you're looking for, I mean, if you could date a 6'2" pastor, you would do it. And trust me, if they're watching this show, they're probably devout Christians.
Devout Christians. My dad said, I watched one of those episodes of Impulsive, and I just don't know how you handle those boys.
I have no idea either, yeah. Danny. It doesn't make sense. Like, on paper, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. I still don't understand.
Wait, I met a girl. I was talking to a girl. Nah, that's not even true.
Nice.
I was I was with a girl for like a day or two who was, you remember that girl? You called her a ladder.
Oh my Lord.
She was 6'3".
She was the tallest human I've ever met.
And I was like, yo, like, I'm 6'2" and I can't not notice how fucking tall you are.
And she would wear heels too.
I said, how does that make you feel? She's like, I love it. She loved it. She loved being taller than men.
I like being tall. Mm. The frustrating part is when a guy doesn't like that you're tall. Because then it makes you, you're like, well, I'm tall. I'm not changing that. I'm tall. It's your insecurity that you're putting on me.
Mm. That's
so
a big
I've had
thing.
That before.
That's a big thing that demasculation of men, because I have a girlfriend who makes far more money than I do, and it's something that I've had to deal with. You know what I'm saying? She comes and picks me up in my Lambo.
That's fascinating.
She comes and picks me up in her Lambo. I walk out with like a lunchbox. I'm like, bye, Logan. See, I'll be back soon. Don't worry. We'll get the content for your vlogs. I promise. I'll be back soon. And then she picks me up in the Lambo. She's like, get in, bitch. We're going to whatever restaurant I fucking choose. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, I see the menu, and she's like, you'll be having the prime rib, medium rare. Don't give him potatoes because he's fucking fat. He's not having potato. Some of it I'm kidding about.
Which part? Because that all sounded like things I've heard.
None of it except for the Lambo part where she picks me up in a Lambo.
It is so fascinating because it's not like you don't have money, but she's like she's the breadwinner in the relationship.
She definitely is. I mean, I also just don't spend. Like, she was like, why don't you get a matching Lambo? I was like, I can, but like, I don't, it just seems like a waste.
Can you?
Yeah. I mean, husband? I can if I want to, but like,
I
can even buy it outright if I want to, but I just don't want to do that. Why would I do that?
You promise?
Yeah, I can show you right now. Do you want to see?
No, but like, would you have?
I can pull up my check.
We believe you.
I could. I mean, does the audience believe me?
It's a slight shift in power in the dynamic between you and most women. Yeah. I'm going to give you some advice.
Please.
Would be so hard for you to apply because you are here 24/7. And actually, you should start leaving like 1 to 2 hours earlier, I think.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Like an 8 p.m.
Yes. Like a normal person. Danny's deal to 10 p.m. every day.
Yeah, if you didn't know, I work 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 6 days a week.
Chef Katie wants to know if that rule applies to her too. She's walking through. She's like, hey, is there any chance I could leave around that time as well?
Chef Katie's gonna pick up the extra 2 hours a day. Yeah, we gotta stay longer with the late night snacks.
Midnight.
What are you saying? She said, "All right."
Well, Chef Katie also fits in much better with this squad. No offense, no, Danny, but she's a fucking lunatic. She's perfect.
She's a Satanist, not like Danny.
She loves recreational, a little recreational drug use here and there.
All right, here's the advice.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Hold on, I'm gonna get this. It is so much more. Here's why dating apps, I have a problem with them. You do not know anything about the person, right? A algorithm tells you that this person might be compatible, and then you feel obligated to like text until you meet and like forge some sort of chemistry. If you can feel that chemistry when you meet a person in real life first, meet them in who would have guessed real life is better than this, right? But if you can meet a person in real life and then a spark of interest happens and you feel chemistry there, and it might be the catalyst to become interested and carry on those conversations as a predecessor for the date. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. Because even like these two guys, sure, there's a on paper, it make like outdoorsy adventures, whatever. Yes. And then you go and you're like, I don't have any, there's no spark or anything. Yeah.
So if you basically, I'm suggesting meeting people in real life, right? But I was saying it's hard because you're always here.
And where do I go? That's the biggest
question.
The
places you love. The places you love.
That I don't know. If anyone has advice for me too, I got it.
Erwan, I have the answer. I have the answer. I tell everyone the same exact thing. I'm a firm believer in meeting people in real life. You have to do it. It's the only.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do it through apps. I get it. People meet matches all the time that way because it's a good start for like maybe people that are more shy. But if you have hobbies, things you're interested in, a group, a club, something that you want to go put energy into, it's a lot easier to meet people there that have similar time spend as you, and then you're already engaged in one activity. You have something in common from the beginning, and you're like, oh,
have you done come here often? Have you done that?
Me?
Like a all club? The time. A club here?
I met
not
a guy.
Not a club, but not here. I can't find love in LA. Everyone's focused on their work here.
Fair. I met a guy on the PCH. I was riding my bike. I forgot about this. It was like a year and a half ago. I was on the PCH riding my bike alone, and there's this group of guys that go riding by, and I hop on their tail and start drafting on them. I'm like, nice. Hey, mind if I join in? And then I started talking to this one guy for the whole, we went on an 80-mile ride, and I just joined in. And then
that's awesome.
Yeah.
The problem with those circumstances is they're much more rare than the swipe, right? You do this 10 times.
That's about, the apps are about volume. The apps are about volume. It's a numbers game. You meet a bunch of people. One of them you'll find a spark with. Take it from the app legend. I did apps for years. Yeah. And by the way, the apps you're using are for hookups.
Well, yeah, and I'm not.
You need Match.com or even better, Christian Mingle.
Christian Mingle.
Farmers only.
You need Christian Mingle because then every person on there is of the utmost faith, 12-foot passers in the faith department. You need that shit because the ones you're on, it's all about meat, margarita, fuck fest.
Yeah.
And that's not you, Danny. You don't want to be in some margarita-driven fuck fest.
No, I really don't.
You're just a good Christian girl. You want to go bale hay and shit like that.
I prefer baling hay.
You killed a cow with a bale of hay. A baby cow. Danny dropped a bale of hay on a baby cow.
I'm so sorry.
Past killed traumas,
it,
man.
And then dragged it home with a little Jeep or something like that,
yeah,
right?
It was a quad. I dragged it out to the woods.
Does that, you still affected by that, would you say?
A little. Yeah, because my friend was like, you better watch, make sure it doesn't come untied. And then as we...
And you were how old?
I was probably like 14.
I
worked
tough
on a pumpkin patch and that was out at the pumpkin patch.
A freshman in high school and already a convicted felon.
Cow murderer.
That's you go to jail in India.
Well, Danny, I
applaud you.
I applaud, yes. I applaud you. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank
in your dating endeavors. And I mean, look, if you're a young, driven, good looking bachelor, comment below. Hit up Danny on Instagram. What's your Instagram?
Danny L. Strobel.
And if you find any bachelors, let me know so I can bet the fuck on
it. Yeah, I got to run them by you guys
I'll be
first.
The older bro here.
I'm here
and
for
And then
it.
He'll be the dad.
Which you better know your Deuteronomy, kids.
Ooh.
Wow.
Is that right? Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy is a book in the Bible. Yes.
You better know your Deuteronomy, kids. And maybe even some Psalms.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right, thanks. You guys are all like my brothers. Your birthday is the same as my brother's. You're basically my brother.
April 1st.
Same
middle name. It's coming up. Holy shit, I'm going to be 25 soon.
25.
Thank you, boys. That's cool, though.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Danny. Should we, should we bring the Jewish Smurf back in or no? No? There he goes.
He's going out.
What about the German? Does the German have anything to say?
Actually, yo, can we bring the German on?
Why don't you get in here,
for
German?
For 5 minutes? Come get on. Get in here, fuck ass. Everybody knows
Jeff, how to Jeff sent night. This as we were talking to Danny. 50 Cent posted it on his Instagram. It's a guide to have sex during the coronavirus pandemic. And actually, I kind of fuck with this. Let's see here. So corona sex. So missionary is unsafe, right? You're right in the direct line of fire of the coughing and the germs. But doggy seems to be the way to go. That seems safe and feasible.
Look at the guy's butt in the bottom one. It's a little peg that comes out of his... It's like his tailbone is exposed.
He's got his tail. Is this you, Mike?
That kind of looks like my ass.
Also, why... Dude, he's hunkered over, dude. He's not in like a stiff upright position, which tends to be the more. I mean,
also he's got no grip strength on those paws.
Come on, man! This is a private moment for this guy. How are you going to critique him? Everyone's got their own stroke.
Speaking of Corona, can you guys listen to something really quick?
What you got,
Mike? I've been meaning to talk to you about this. You have coughed the entire time.
There's one more.
Why did you do that to yourself?
All right, first off, Brad, please make sure these mics do not get switched.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
That is disgusting.
It's not corona. It's just an upper respiratory infection and a high fever.
You
don't have to worry about it at all.
I believe those are the exact symptoms of coronavirus.
What was that?
Dude, it sounds like your esophagus is lined
not good.
With measles and mumps.
I haven't had a good old... phlegm-ridden cough like this in a while.
You need to get that fixed immediately because it's the worst thing. You literally cough from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed. I heard you had a coughing fit last night at 11:30. I thought you were going to die.
Damn. I picked it up in Miami for the Jake Paul fight.
I am getting concerned, dude.
Should I go?
You need to go.
You and my father both. I'm concerned about
you
guys.
He's got a cough too?
No, but every time he calls me, I'm like, this is it, dude. This is the call where he's like, I'm having another heart attack. I swear to God, Dad. I swear to God.
Shit.
I swear. He pulled up. I was following him one time on the road, and he pulled over in a little passing lane. And I was like, dude, this is it. He had a heart attack on the road. Like I'm paranoid, and I feel like it's gonna happen with you. Some sort of coughing fit.
Oh, a coughing attack.
You suffocate yourself via suffocation.
Totally, I actually almost did for your last vlog. It was actually a good little.
So funny.
Good little moment. Hey, what's up, German?
Hey, what's up,
David?
Mike.
David.
How are you? Say good, something you? Long so people can understand how you talk.
I don't know what to say. I can tell you that that's my favorite position right there. The missionary.
Doggy?
No, the missionary.
Not anymore.
Why?
You just got to be safe. Safe
sex. Coronavirus. Cut the shit, Dave.
All right, I'm going to switch.
Yo, how about dinner sold by David last night?
Yeah.
The Postmates.
Yeah, sure.
Me and David got a fight.
When?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Him and Lana had some issues. There was there's a whole lot of beef going on with David and Mike over the friendship that David and Lana
like
had.
The zone. So are we? Anyways, are we? I almost want to ask her. Are we doing this or what? I mean, are you going somewhere?
Yeah, sure.
Well, no. Do you have
this one was a bit serious. Sure, let's
do it. It was serious, but it's a good question. It's just a question. It comes to a high level question that I want to ask the viewers as well. David has always, with every one of my flings, and now with my current girlfriend, had a very tight relationship. Slightly physical, slightly always playful. Very playful.
He fucks Mike's girls. Basically. No, I'm just kidding.
Not at all. But
who are you referring to? The flings?
Remember with the assistant's best friend?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah.
All right. So remember when I was hooking up with her and you guys would choke each other and shit like that?
That was a joke between us. She also was in my bet once, so I don't know whose fling it was.
Oh. Did you hook up with her?
No, but she ended up in my bed. She came out of your room.
So anyway.
But also, I've had girls who ended up in Mike's bed, love sack, whatever.
Here's the question.
Got it.
It's like this brotherly, sisterly thing. But Lana used it to make me jealous because I'm not a jealous guy. People always ask me, like, how do you feel about the fact that she took dicks? And I'm just like, don't give a fuck. Don't care at all. Not a jealous guy. I know who I am. I'm Gucci. So I don't give a fuck. So she's like, damn, I got to figure this out. I want this motherfucker to respect the queen. And she used the Nazi to fucking do it. Yeah. And so the other, and so the other day she was sticking her ass out in the kitchen and she like looked at him like fucking with me. And then she'll look at me and like do one of these and he sneaks past her and she goes, he rubbed his dick like so I wasn't blaming David.
That's not what happened.
So I don't want to push him too far. Cause they're all just fucking around. But it finally got me to the point after weeks of it happening where I said, yo, this is done. This is over.
Yeah.
There's no more of this. And Logan mediated the situation. And it brought up this like thought in my mind of like, does anyone else out there go through the situation where the best friend becomes like a little bit too, like they become playful
for sure.
Almost. For and sure. Like you, too we've flirty, had, too we've, flirty. We've had this situation numbers a bunch of times.
For sure. Not just between us, dude. This is a very common problem.
I mean, I told you, Mike. So multiple times it happened every morning, whenever she sleeps over, she comes out and just hugs me. But
right.
There's a lot of ways to hug. There's a very dry hug, but she does the hug where she puts her head inside my
right. She like nestles. Shoulder.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. A little weird. Sometimes she rests her head on my shoulder, just like standing in the kitchen.
Do you think she considers you like almost like a Berlin teddy bear?
I think it all comes down to two things. First, the way we got introduced to each other in the vlog. That's a huge thing.
I agree with that.
You made him be the cheater?
There's a through line of David and Lana flirting, 100%. Even though she's your girl.
We made
which,
it up.
Which, yeah. Yo, this is classic case of like real life and vlog, and the lines are starting to blur. Yeah.
But real life problem is that she actually likes me as a person, I would say.
Of course.
So maybe that's how she is.
She's very affectionate. And yes. I'm assuming one of her love languages is touch. And I wouldn't be surprised if she loves this all the time.
She wants to cuddle constantly. And by the way, my anti-love language is touch. Get the fuck off.
But also
please,
multiple times.
I am busy. I'm doing shit. And so when all she wants to do is, she says all the time, cuddles. All I want to do is not cuddles. So what is she naturally going
to
do?
Let's go to David.
Find David. And she does it.
Oh,
she goes,
yes. The guy that wants to cuddle.
Cuddle. And so she comes to me for the action. And then she goes to David for the cuddles. And so I got to a point where I was comfortable with that situation. I'm like, good. This is perfect.
I help you out on that one.
Amazing.
If you want to, but two times it happened where you weren't there. That was like in the morning time. She would rest her head on me a little too long, a little too... You can do it for a second, kind of like high, but then like, okay, go away. But she just keeps
resting.
Did
you ever feel like you might want to press a charge?
No. But two times I told her, hey, I feel uncomfortable. As like, obviously also as a joke, but semi-serious, because I'm not going to be like, yo, get the fuck off of me. I was like, yeah, I mean, I feel a little uncomfortable. I think I said something along the lines like, you're my... one of my best friend's girlfriend or something.
Wait,
it got
to that point where you make that statement. You're like, yes, we can't do this.
I did it twice.
You're fully dressed in the kitchen without hugging. You, and he's like, we can't do this.
Without
you know how badly I want to do this hugging right now, but we can't do this. And you know it.
That's how the scene commenced.
What I also think with Lana is she, since she's like in that adult industry and every guy like looks up to her like, oh my God, Lana Rhodes. I'm not really like that.
I was going to say this.
And I think even in, remember the prank in the bed where you were like, David, I know for a fact you are hard right now.
And you weren't.
I'll tell you right now, I wasn't hard at all.
Yeah, that was never my concern. It's never been that you guys were going to hook up. It was just where was I supposed to draw the line?
That's the question he's
asking. From a friendship standpoint, like where do you say like, yo, have you ever dealt with anything like this, Jeff, with your girl? Like where one of your friends was just like, they were like more, you're not on the set. So I don't know what I'm talking. I fucked up. Logan's gonna be mad.
What I was saying with
I just wanted with, I wanted to ask someone else looking, in a relationship.
I'm telling you right now, it happens.
Right.
There's people in the comments right now who are like, "Holy shit, this is word for word exactly verbatim what's happening in my life."
But the point that I was saying with that people look up to her, or like guys look up to her as like the goddess of like porn industry, adult industry, is that the rejection or disinterest from my side is almost.
Yeah, she's attracted to it a little bit. The typical rules of engagement, the typical rules of life do not apply to Lana. She is fascinating. 100%. Her come up, her past, even where she's at now in her life. Like, bro, I went to the Lamborghini dealership to get her the jacket. And the guy's like, I've never sold a Lamborghini to a woman that young. She is a fucking baller. Like,
she's awesome.
The typical rules of like how I would read a human
again, just they differ for her. She moves very differently. I don't know many people like her. So the way she's touching you is like, girls that I've messed around, they're touchier with my friends. Yeah, some are. Some call them babe, some don't. Even the babe, we had an issue. I was like, yo, you got to stop calling this girl I was messing around with. I was like, you have to stop calling my friends babe. You need to, that is.
And then it got even worse that night too, with the lock sack and everything. Yeah. So it does happen, but I do, the final thing I noticed was once I snapped, I saw it in her face. She was like this. Got him.
But it wasn't only you that snapped. I snapped too because
you shouldn't.
Both
of
you.
By the way, you were not supposed to. You were supposed to just.
I was because here was a problem. It was a snap for you because you were all blaming it on me, and a snap on her because I might have had a little contact with her when I went around. At first, I was fucking high as fuck, and all I saw was my chocolate milk that I wanted to grab.
Yeah, you.
And let's say, what do you think is more likely? Me passing around her and doing whatever she claimed, or me passing around her and let's slightly touch her. Touch her and she's like, oh my God, David. Blah, blah, blah. So she gets your attention.
She did. She tried to throw David under the bus. I saw it, but and it worked.
That's what she did.
And it worked.
And the situation where she was like, no, David, I've never said that. When I made that example, when she was like leaning over like midday one time and she was like looking back like this. Just like the twinkie eye and all that.
Twinkie eye. She had a fucking treat. Yo, like, but it, all right.
And I acknowledge them. I laugh at them. And I'm, what am I going to do? It
listen
makes me
here,
uncomfortable.
Frankfurt.
Hold
on.
Hamburg.
Just
Hamburg.
Fuck you.
The last thing I want to say is she tried it with the DMs first. And I think she thought that was going to work. She's like, you know who's in my shit, right? And I was just like, don't give a fuck. She's like, you know this rapper. And we talked about this. Every rapper, every football, every soccer player, everybody. And I was just like, that's dope. She had to do it in real life.
I was gonna say, I think because this is shot me in the foot before. This is fucked me. Your nonchalance
makes it worse.
Yes,
100%.
Sometimes, like your hands off attitude, hamburger. Bro. Like girls love attention. They love attention. Yeah. Belle, you like attention?
Love it.
Love attention from your boy.
Because
hey, George, did she ever hit you with the give me attention? Ever, bro?
What about cuddles?
Cuddles. Yo, literally, I get this every night. Every night. You don't love me. Oh. Hold me. I was like, man, I'm exhausted. I worked all day. No, you don't. You just hug me.
Right. So if you're two hands off, eventually maybe she might push harder, which is what happened in this scenario.
Fuck me. And then
no,
you're, oh yeah, I'm here. Yeah, babe, you get it.
Yeah. Well, here we are. We
figured
classic
it out. German.
We're all good.
We
love you, Dave.
Yeah, leave my hand.
But yo, but it's
long.
it's also fucked up too because on the flip side, like I can't even like a picture. My Instagram now is just a scroll. There's no engagement. Nope, not allowed. What'd you say?
The girl tried to trap me too. I like saying, oh, he like recorded this. I'm like, it was your idea to record it. You remember that?
Yeah, she's a hustler, bro.
She's devious, bro. She's smart.
But I can't do shit, so it's fucked up.
It's a double standard you may have to live with, Mike.
Well, I mean, she's coming to meet my mom, so four days.
Nice. When we went to the strip club in Vegas to watch her dance, which is by the way why we went to Vegas, dude, I realize I'm very uncomfortable at strip clubs.
Yeah, some people just are. Some people are. I think it takes. I think certain guys like because I'm like you too. I believe it or not. It's just so over. Like I don't like that in your face sexuality, which makes no sense because I'm dating Lana. But like even when she tries to talk to me like that, like when she says really direct like sexual shit, I actually don't like that. Any of the adult girls that I've ever fucked with, I don't like when they talk super sexually to me.
It's
outside of the bedroom. No, or in the bedroom. I'm more of like. I don't know, but why does it make you uncomfortable?
I don't know. I think it's like that is the peak of like superficiality, dude. Like a bunch of women wooing men literally only to get their money. I don't see it for anything other than that. A girl came up to you,
I
David.
Knew you were gonna come up with
that. A girl came up to you and said something. She's
no,
like,
her first time was, hey, I like your height.
I like your height. I was like, good opener, strong. And David's like, what did you see?
I was joking. I was looking at you. I was like, because you were saying something. I was like, yeah, Logan, I go, she likes my height.
I go, David, this girl has been trained exactly what to say. She is a professional.
Rookies falling for shit at the strip. My favorite thing to watch. They're like, she said she likes my height. Where's the ATM? This one's got something special. She sees something in me.
There's a song that goes like this.
Bow, bow,
bow. I'm in love with a stripper. She riding, she rolling, she rolling. It happens. T-Pain. So be careful, boys. Be careful. If you do go to a strip club and you want to spend money, spend that fucking money. Please spend the money, because we had an issue. Mike and I withdrew $500 in singles each to throw at Lana. And we did. We threw all of them. It was awesome. Money was raining. It was a big spectacle. It was cool. Then when we went back and collected all the cash that everyone threw...
It was less than what we started.
We lost money.
Singles were going off the stage, and the broker guys around the stage like collected, and then they throw it at different strippers that aren't dating social media influencers.
We lost $103 somehow. So
how did you count that many dollars?
They run it through the machine.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yo, but do you remember the two girls that came up to us when we were taking the money out?
Oh, that was hilarious. That was so funny.
These two dancers came up to us when we were taking the money out, and they're like, they were trying to run the game. Like, they started, and obviously, me and him are fucking bulletproof. Like, they come up to us and they're like, hey, guys, it's pretty tall, huh? And we're just like, yeah, sure thing. And they're like, it's always a height thing with women. It's always a fucking height thing.
Comment on your physical appearance.
Well, no, it's just girls love tall fucking guys. I'm sorry to say it.
But they're short girls. They're like short guys. All right,
anyway, so they come up to us.
There you go.
Oh, fuck you, Mike.
Hold on a sec. So they come up to us and they go, they're like, what are you guys doing here tonight?
I was like, I'm just withdrawing some money right now. Just hanging out.
Just withdrawing some money. And they're like, you guys here to see Lana Rhodes? And we were like, yeah, we're just taking some money out and shit. They're like, she's the queen. I'll be honest with you. I'm here to see Lana Rhodes tonight. And they're like, we're supposed to be dancing, but we're fangirling like crazy. And then they come up to me.
No,
and
no,
like,
Mike's like, oh, yeah, that should be. All right. No, what did you say? I fucked it.
Anyway, so she comes up to me and they start touching.
No, no, no. You go. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you know, they touched you. I'm wiped up. Right.
I have a girlfriend, so I can't really like partake.
And I go, yeah, you guys actually might know her. They're like, no way, who is it? I was like, well, her name's Lana Rhodes.
And they're like, oh, they're like, great job. And then they just walked away. They're like, fuck, these are not our marks tonight.
They gotta go work. What nightclub? Sapphire. Oh, it's like the one,
biggest
right?
Biggest club in Vegas. Yeah. They had 500 girls working at that night.
What?
That night.
It reminded me of a Dan Bilzerian party with less clothes.
Vegas is nice because the girls are like actually hot.
They were hot.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very
hot. Not that
very
I was
pretty.
Looking at any.
I also had a problem. We try to gamble a lot. I lost my money again. I can't believe it. What a surprise. $3,000 gone.
What was your betting strategy this time?
No strategy.
Didn't look like he had any.
No strategy.
Just throw the dollars in the
wind. No, he's a psycho. But he sits next to me at the blackjack table. He'll bet $300 to start. He'll win. He'll bet $600. He'll bet $1,200. He'll bet $2,400. He'll bet $4,800. Then the table gets cold and he doesn't take his bet down. $4,800, $4,800, $4,800 out. Gone. And then he sits there and looks at me and he goes, so you want to get McDonald's or something? And I'm sitting there with my stack of chips playing it the right way. You know, a little bit here, a little bit more, a little bit less. And he sat and watched me for, about an hour after he ran out of money. And I went up to $4,000 bets at one point and I kept missing my double downs. Mm.
I want to give a shout out to my accountants here, my business managers.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to Amex for declining.
Yeah. Amex. I thought my Amex was no limit. It's only no limit for purchases, but not for ATM withdrawals.
Oh.
So there's a limit on it, and it's $8,000 a month. And I had lost $6,000 last time I went to Vegas and my $2,000. So, bro, I'm sitting at the ATM for like an hour. Bro, I'm on the phone with Amex. I'm like, please. I'm like, where's the fucking limit? They're like, what's your mother's maiden name? And doing all the questions. I'm like, just fucking do it. And they wouldn't. And so I got to give a shout out to my accountants for the withdrawal limits, because I believe they saved my life. Wow. Dude, I was about to throw down like...
You were trying to get 10, 20, 20?
I was going to withdraw 10, bet it on Israel Adesanya. He won, by the way.
Oh,
so
won.
I would have won probably like 17,000 around that. And then I was going to put it on black.
We lost it anyway.
And then maybe won. And then, by the way, if I won, I probably would have put it on something else. And Am I an addict?
Well, no, wait, hold on.
No, you're just a fool.
It was the closest I've ever seen Logan to being an addict, though. He like runs out of money, leaves the table. He's at the fucking ATM. Come on, Amex. Do you know how much I paid in fucking APR adjusted this fucking year? Give me that fucking money. I'm like, God dang, Logan. What's wrong with you, bro?
I always feel so... I feel like such a loser when I'm withdrawing money. And then you know what made me feel better? I said this.
That I lost.
No. Yeah.
That definitely made me feel better.
Yeah. The last time we went to Vegas and I was trying to withdraw money, there was a dude next to me who was like a very rich version of myself. And he was talking to the casino about losing $500,000. And I was like, yeah, I'll probably be all right.
Yeah. You're going to be good. You're going to be good.
Any YouTube update on the vlogs?
Oh yeah,
the Maverick rebrand. This is actually awesome. This is fucking sick. The Maverick rebrand, because if you've noticed, I've removed the URL for Maverick by Logan Paul, loganpaul.com/shop, from all my YouTube descriptions. It's still in my Instagram, but we've very much so pulled back on promoting the merch, plugging the merch, selling the merch, everything. The site is actually going to go down soon for a full reconstruction. And today we saw the first round of, not the first round, this is like the third or fourth round of design.
Beautiful.
But this is, oh my God, it was amazing. So slick, so crisp, so clean. There's new messaging. It's going to feel like a new brand, but still be very true to me and the audience that the word Maverick resonates with. And so that's awesome. That's an update that I think you guys are going to see probably here in the next month, 2 months, as the third anniversary of the brand comes up, which is on my birthday on April Fool's Day.
Makes me so happy to be back in the saddle on like heavy business shit. We're talking about data and fucking brand purposes and identity. And
you love back end metrics.
I love
you?
It. I mean, I lived there for so long.
It's why he's able to be his age and not just conquer, dominate YouTube.
Yeah.
You know how fucking hard it is to succeed on YouTube, bro.
At 35.
The barrier to entry is so difficult, and somehow he is a marketer.
Yeah.
So he's able to do it, and a personality, which is the real tough part. That's the shit you're born with. But
I'm amped on this clothing.
It's gonna be awesome.
Everybody,
man,
watching this should be fucking pumped. It's like a mix between athletic and streetwear, and it's just, I think people are going to be blown away by the designs. Yeah.
Yeah, we evolved the content. We adapted and changed, and we wanted to do the same thing with the clothing, and it is very hard, especially cuz you know, you see the Maverick logo, like it sparks up a certain feeling.
It stands for something,
and we wanted to make sure it's just as powerful while quite literally evolving and going to the next level and changing in a way that was going to resonate with our new aged up audience.
Maturing.
Yep. So that's going to be cool.
Yep.
Also, I think that's actually it. I think we wrap up. Fire. Through the fire and flames.
Great weekend.
Really great weekend. Thank you guys for joining us here on this episode of Impulsive.
We're approaching 2 million subscribers.
We really are, though. So wait, please.
Who gets the trophy for the 2 million? Like, if you're the 2 million subscriber, what do you get?
Ooh. Oh, we should do that.
His penis is bouncing up and down.
Oh, shit.
We are at 1.99. So this episode will get us to 2 million.
Do a give a hoodie.
I don't know how to. You'll get a hoodie.
All right, one guys, of his new ones.
Hit that subscribe button. We love you. We'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Ooh, bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.